Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
All right. I thought I told you.
Are you in the shot right now?
Maybe I'm not needed.
No, move closer. Is he in the shot? Guys.
He is, but okay. Get closer.
Oh,
right.
I love a bit of bad guys.
I do love a bad guys.
You want to explain the context of that?
No, I actually don't.
To be fair, it kind of works in your favour. By the way, Josh, my name is Gaz. I won't explain the why. So we'll just leave it. We'll just leave it as it is.
Be who you are.
But I am who I am.
Okay, let's go.
You want to get started?
No.
How are you, Bisola?
It's Sunday morning, lads.
Really,
it's Sunday morning.
What do you
mean? Not see what you guys just did with each other just now?
What did we do?
It's fine, carry on.
How are you, Bisola?
Do you know what? I'm really well.
Yeah,
I'm really well. Manny, how are you?
That was weird.
It was, but it's because I'm... Basically, my new month resolution is to be... to swear less.
Okay.
Because I used to never swear, but I swear all the time now.
How comes?
I'm not sure. I think it's... I'm around a lot of men a lot of the time. I tend to raise my voice. That's also one thing. I'm going to stop shouting at men.
Okay. Are you really going to stop?
I'm going to try.
Mm.
And just be less vulgar. Don't
look... I mean, what's the context behind the vulgar?
No, it's just like saying things.
Mm.
But guys, can we start this podcast? What the fuck?
We can. We can
okay. I'm fine, thank you very much. Good day, I guess.
Yeah? What have you been up to this weekend?
I went to see some of my friends last night. It's a link up that we barely do. Like, we see each other like every week. Last night was the first time that we linked up in quite some time. It was nice. It was refreshing. We done some bowling. Then we're gallivanting central London to like 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, it was nice, man.
You know what I was going to say to you? I said this to you already. You don't reply to me. You need to do more music stuff.
Like music breakdowns. But I only really like talking about music when it's like related to storytelling.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Makes your two worlds.
I wonder why you love Kendrick so much.
Yeah.
I love... Don't talk yet.
You haven't been introduced yet.
Not yet.
Still your senior. Yeah, like I love... Kendrick. I love Kendrick because he's a great storyteller. I enjoy music in general, but when you have the element of storytelling, add the element of themes, it's just like...
You're not like the Case Boogie, you're not in that sort, you're not that...
No, yeah, like she loves all of... I love music in general, but I don't care to talk about it unless it's talking about story.
But like, you seem to care about rap, though.
Because rap is like, I think is the best form of music when it comes to storytelling. That I've come across and I've engaged with. I even like recently done a video comparing albums to film genres.
I love that.
To film genres. I really enjoy doing that. Like thinking that.
Do you like opera?
I've never been to an opera before.
I think you'd really enjoy opera.
Maybe. I wanna get into Vogue as many arts, bit of forms of arts as possible.
Do you know a really fun fact about me? I was in an opera when I was younger.
Really?
It was called the Peasants Opera.
The Peasants?
Yeah.
Were you a peasant?
No, I was not. I was a cellist because I don't sing, and you know that.
Okay.
And you know that. You didn't know that, but you knew that.
I forgot, man.
And yeah, it was a really awful time in my life.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a really...
Well, thank God you're not there anymore.
You're here with us instead. You're with the Post-Credit Scene podcast, which is a 14HQ original. Lovers of film, TV and theatre. We're back in the studio today. Really special episode. Really excited for this one. Just to let you guys know, the people watching, listening... We can stop now.
No.
Yeah, we can. For the people watching, listening, this podcast has been a huge fan of our guest for quite some time.
Yeah.
Dating back to the first... Well, yes, we have.
We've even talked about him when Toby, was here. Remember, we mentioned like what... actors, we were like excited for until we mentioned our guest.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've come across Toby before, but you might have.
He loves her so much. Can you?
I love her best. Yeah, I do.
Basically, she's his best friend and she's involved in the sort of entertainment world, arts, and so on and so forth.
Dope.
And he talks about her at any given opportunity.
She's the greatest.
To the point where I've accepted him for who he is and his love for her as well.
Yeah. That's not my friend. That's
we could
family.
All be in a burning building and he will. Like,
I'm Toby first.
Yeah.
Toby first.
Toby over me.
Oh, yeah, facts. Yeah. you over Bisola though.
Man, that was so unnecessary.
Now, we've got a special guest. And as I said before, we've been a huge fan of this person for quite some time. So I want to give a huge round of applause to Josh Tedeku. Round of applause and thank you for joining us.
So when you did a TikTok recently, uh-huh, and you said your surname as
Tedeku.
Yep.
I was so certain for before that you were Nigerian until you said Tedeku, and I was Tedeku. Like, oh my gosh, you've gone in.
Yeah.
Lo and behold.
Yeah, yeah.
Appreciate
facts.
The correction, first yeah. and foremost. Josh, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good as I can be. Yeah.
Good to hear from you, man. And good to have you here with us. Let's do some proper introductions to the host, Bisola. How are you today?
I am really well. I'm so excited to be here. I love this podcast.
You do?
Money?
Excited to be here as well. Nice to see you guys. I've seen you guys in like 4 weeks.
It's been a minute still.
Yeah, it's been
a while. It has been.
Because you two missed the last ones. Yeah.
Last like 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because apparently I was at home faking it and sending pre-recorded videos as well. I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you manage to get here on time?
Wait, you watched it?
What?
Did you watch the last episode?
Yeah, of course I did.
No, you didn't. She's coughing because she would have brought up the fact that her said you were faking it.
Yeah. I was faking it.
Yeah, he said you were.
Oh, yeah. You know what, yeah? And this is why I raise my voice around men. This is the reason.
Fair. Before we get started, Josh, I've got a spontaneous question for you.
Yes.
This is a question I'll ask lots of people because I love this format of entertainment. I'm a huge TV, huge TV lover.
Yes.
Love film as well, don't get me wrong, but TV, love it. I want to know your top five or your Mount Rushmore of TV shows.
Okay.
We're going to judge you, by the way.
I'm going to put you guys on some game.
Okay.
Oh, bravo.
With only one of my choices, though. Okay. The rest are obvious.
So do you want to do a top five or Mount Rushmore? Up to you.
Mount Rushmore's four, right?
Yeah.
I'll do Mount Rushmore. Makes it easy on me. Game of Thrones is my goat. I don't care about season 8. Game of Thrones is my goat.
I can take. I can. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
That's storytelling.
First couple of 4 or 5 seasons.
Even six. Six is my favorite season.
Six is the best from like a entertainment.
The last two episodes are some of the best episodes of TV.
Grand
ever.
Grand nature.
Oh my god.
No. Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about season 6, but there were some highlights, man.
No, definitely were. But
my favorite.
Yeah.
Anyways.
5 and 6.
But yeah. I'll put The Wire on there.
Come on, man.
Correct.
Put The Wire on there.
After Cerberus, after crossover.
I'll put The Wire on there. See, this is difficult because I say things can't be in my top 10 without 2 seasons, and now the second season is about to finish.
Oh, God.
I can't lie. Severance.
Yeah.
Severance is getting up there. So it's now, I'll put that there.
Interesting.
And then my last one, it's a show. I don't know when it was made, but it was like early 2010s, I think. Irish show. It's called Love/Hate. It's like Irish version of The
it's
Wire.
It's got some big actors in there.
Yeah.
Some...
Every Irish actor who's big
Robert
has Sheehan's been in there. Yeah. That show.
Aidan Gillen.
Yeah. It's like the quality isn't great in season 1 and all that, obviously, because it's like Irish and it's like lower level and the budget and da-da. But like...
The Irish hate him. Don't make them hate him again.
No, they actually... Okay.
But like the quality of storytelling and character building all that over those 5 seasons.
Yeah, really good.
Some of the best I have ever seen on TV in my eyes.
Love/Hate kind of laid the foundation for Kin.
Yes, yeah. Exactly yeah, that. Exactly like that. And if you haven't watched it, go and watch it. I'm telling you.
Let's do a 5-minute Severance talk. Everyone watch the latest.
Yes.
I haven't.
Oh, Biss.
Oh, oh,
it might be one of the best. I think it's the best episode of
that
Severance.
That might be why I'm waiting so long to watch.
It's a crazy episode.
It's a crazy
episode. In every aspect that you can think of.
And I've literally blocked everyone on everything, so I don't have to see anything.
So it's a really good episode.
I'm sorry, guys. Bro. I've been really busy.
This season is...
Do you dive into the theories when in Severance?
Yes and no. I mean, I have my own theories, but I don't like to go down the rabbit hole of Twitter and all that too much.
Yeah, not too much of it.
It spins my head.
I'm on a really dark side of Severance TikTok, and I actually hate it. I want to get out of there.
Yeah.
I'd stop watching one person's video because I feel like it was too much on the nose with some stuff. So I'd stop watching.
Yeah, you just need to leave some stuff to like the imagination or what could be
my
when you watch it. You want to watch
music
it
and the sound, and it was really pissing me.
Yeah, I can't lie. I love all of that.
No, because
I do want to talk to the editors though, especially after that episode.
Because he was chatting shit.
Oh.
Like I was like, this is incorrect.
Okay.
But he was so like he was saying, you know that thing that Josh does, yeah? When you speak slowly, yeah.
Or you repeat yourself twice.
Yeah, you repeat yourself twice, you speak slowly, yeah.
Doctor,
but let me be focused. That kind of joint, yeah. That's what he does. And he was wrong. Lo and behold.
Jessica Lee Gagne she's the cinematographer for the show.
Didn't a woman direct the
This was her directorial debut.
That was, yeah.
First time she directed anything.
It's amazing.
It's insanity. I was listening to the podcast, the Severance podcast.
We love women.
Adam Scott and Ben and Stella.
Adam Scott, and they interviewed the woman that plays Miss Casey.
Oh,
Denich, Dinch. I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I feel like I'm butchering name. I apologize. And obviously Jessica
Lachman, Ditchman Lachman.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. And obviously Jessica as well, the director for this episode and cinematographer for Severance. And she's just talking about her process as this being her first ever show, first time she ever directed anything. And she's talking about saying how difficult it was because when she is a cinematographer, she has these conversations with the directors in terms of like just shaping on how the show will be. But she didn't have that for this time around because she was the director and the cinematographer for this episode. So she's had to pull somebody else, like some random person from the team. Not random person, sounds disrespectful, but somebody else from the team and just be like, use it as a soundboard. In terms of like, at the end of the day, I can, like, art is subjective. So I can think of this and think of that and say this. But it's still going to be my decision that people are going to take to what they're watching is going to be on my head. And I just find it so interesting just how many doubts they have and how many ways they can go about showcasing a film or a TV show and how wrong they feel like they do certain things. It was an interesting conversation that she was having.
Speaks to humanity though, right?
Like, yeah.
People have, despite what you might think about how someone looks on the outside, everyone's got those inner doubts or demons that they carry within themselves about their work especially. I think we're all quite insecure about our work.
Which fear is the creativity killer, like... I was talking to this, talking about this with a friend of mine who just put on a play at Camden People's Theatre, and he's like one of the first guys I know. We all talk about in the industry, like, oh, let's just do our own work, let's just do our own work. He actually got up and did that. Am I allowed to curse?
Yeah.
He got up and did that shit. And
shit.
And
sorry.
I don't know the laws of.
No, we're good here.
But yeah, he got up and did that shit, and it was like. He weren't afraid to let it fly. And that's what people got to start doing, you know, and that's like with creative decision and all that. We have these great ideas, but we're too afraid to get off because what if it it comes out shit or da 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 da, and then that kills this shit right there. And it's like...
Speaking of, what was your sort of transition into the world that you're in today in terms of television, entertainment, arts? As you can tell, this is like something we... love, we fuck with, we care about it so much.
Yeah.
And obviously it's a pleasure to have you here. So we just want to find out about your sort of journey into acting. What was it like in terms of your childhood and getting into acting?
Yeah. First of all, can I just say before we get off Severance, Tramiel Tilman.
Milchek is my guy.
You are hard. That performance, if you don't win every acting award for that.
Previous
but episode? The thing is, yeah.
And if you need a if you need somebody to him. If you're doing a flashback episode of Milchek season 3 and you need a young Milchek, shout me now.
Yeah, let's get kicked up. But the thing is, yeah. What I can't remember the guy that plays Irvin. His name, you're good with
John Turturro.
He's cold.
Old Boy episode 4, the performance.
Yeah.
Even Helly R.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Britt Lawyer's performance, like just the difficulty. I know Adam Scott has to do it as well, but with Britt,
she's doing it with
exactly. Just like the difference in that, and even when she finally came back. As Helly R, and I was like, bro, I actually missed Helly R. We've had Helly R for like three episodes, but I actually missed Helly R.
Did you guys clock it? It was
From early
straight away.
Yeah, same.
But I kind of like Helen as a character.
I didn't clock.
I didn't want to believe it. I knew, but I didn't want
to
believe
all the dark characters in this show. I actually think they're the most interesting ones.
Yeah.
What they appear to be. So Bert, I think Bert is so interesting.
Yeah.
You know what? This is it. Yeah. I haven't watched the most recent episodes. I don't know. Yeah. But everything Bert has, his character, what's his real name?
Christopher Walken.
Everything he's been in before, he's been like a demon. So I'm going to assume he's going to be the worst person ever in the rest of the season.
You need to watch the recent episode.
Is it?
Beautiful.
Oh, bro.
And you might lose your head over Adam Scott, which is surprising to say. A lot of the ladies are going crazy for Adam Scott.
Bro, he looked completely different. I said that.
I can't lie to you. He looked good, man.
We're going to stop this.
I'm being so serious. Wait till you see the episode.
I think this episode, I do.
Wait, you fucking loser! Oh my god!
I'm not gonna curse, by the way.
Actually, I'm not sorry.
We actually ended up turning this into like a Severance intro, but that was really cool.
Oh,
watch the episode, 100%. Mm-hmm. Need a Milchek episode or a Milchek flashback.
With Josh, please.
Just playing the young man.
And also, I think this recent episode proved that, because like, we know this, but I feel like everybody else has been showcasing and Adam's just been leading the show. But this was Adam's episode to show that he was a certain actor. Like, for me, I watched the episode and I was like, oh, this nigga.
That's crazy, because I felt like the last episode I watched, what, episode 6? I felt that for him. So if you're saying that now, then...
No, because Ep 7 is like, we're seeing him in a whole different light. And it's like his, like, I don't know. He's, it feels like a different person, but it doesn't at the same time.
It is meant to feel like a different person.
And that's what's so amazing about it. Because it's him in a much more casual light, a much more, he's relaxed. He's, you know, in love with it.
I think the difference between this Adam Scott and the previous ones, or his performance, is that he was a support in this episode. He wasn't the lead.
He was playing off.
Yeah, but he done it so well, because I think it's really a difficult craft to be a support and still being like involved in the scenes, still have a presence, but still allowing the other person to be the main star. And we haven't seen that of him much in the last two seasons, because obviously he's the lead. Yeah, but in this particular episode, I think he done it really well.
Yeah, but sorry to answer your question.
All good, brother. Natural conversation flows here, so it's all good.
So my oldest brother is a director, and he's always wanted to be a director. So he kind of introduced me to the world of films, obviously, because, you know, we're black through Denzel Washington, through Spike Lee, all of those people. And then I just grew a love for, I've always been into media. Like, video games was a big part of my childhood, and wrestling. And I think if you're a storyteller out there, director or writer, wrestling and video games are two of the most underrated things you can do. Some of the best storytelling in history, in my opinion, of any medium, just happened last night at Elimination Chamber.
I heard it was nuts.
Crazy. Like, that's a 20-year build-up of story. Just peaked last night. And it was like, you have to be, like, if you weren't there, everybody will remember where they were for that moment. That type of stuff. And I feel like people can learn from that type of storytelling. I feel like I have in my writing and all that stuff. But anyway, tangent. So all that stuff was a big part of my childhood. Primary school times, I always say this, there was a thing called Golden Time, and everybody would like bring something in to show or something like that. And me and my friends would be like in the playground making plays, because we just enjoyed it. Sick. And then we'd show like little 5-minute plays in Golden Time. And I didn't know that that's what I wanted to do, but I enjoyed it. And then I got to secondary, and then drama was actually a lesson. I was like, oh snap, like that's kind of dope. And then enjoyed it. I was tryharding in drama class. Did it for GCSE. And I'm trying to remember the specific point. I think I went to this school. I moved to house and area.
Where did you grow up?
So my dad is an apostle in a church of Pentecost. He was a pastor for most of my life. And in our church, you get moved every 4 years.
Okay.
So I was born in Birmingham, spent 3 years there. Then South London, 4 years. North London, 4 years. Manchester, a year. And then this place called Harlow, just outside of London, for the last part. And
that's crazy.
I've been in and out of there ever since. And I went to school there. And I went to a school there, and one of my good friends, her name is Lily Aslandidou, she's also an actress, and she was sitting in front of me. I came into the class first day, everyone's making jokes like about, she's like, oh yeah, cool, Liam Neeson. I'm like, Liam Neeson? Like, how you know Liam Neeson? And she was like, oh, I just did a film with him.
Mad.
Like, I think it was called A Monster Calls. And she was like, yeah, I just did a film with him. And I was like, if you can make it out of Harlow, because Harlow is like, it's like out of Essex, that's like the bits. Like, it's not the best place, isn't it?
Okay, cool.
It's like one of the most dangerous parts of Essex, I think. And I was like, if you can make it out of Harlow, a place that nobody even has heard of and all that, and make it to do an acting job, I'm 100% going to make it. I have to. I have to. And then from there, that's when I knew I was going to make it as an actor. I didn't know it would be this quick. I didn't know it was going to be this quick at all. I thought I'd have to wait until 30, do the whole drama school thing, and wait until 30 until I pop. But like, obviously God blessed it to me early. And yeah, but I always knew, I feel like that's a, self-belief is a very important thing as an actor. You got to believe you're going to make it, else you're not going to make it. So.
Yeah. What did everyone watch up sort of growing on TV? Biss, what were you watching?
Ooh, but what age though?
Up to you. This is your floor.
Because the problem is, when you're the youngest of three, and your older brother has the TV, it means that you're watching Match of the Day constantly. But it also means you're also always watching wrestling.
I'll pick.
WWE, TNA, like, we were very much watching that.
Locked in.
And then, such a good question. And then also, I've got super Christian Nigerian parents. So, we are...
Did you watch Harry Potter?
Of course not. Of course not. I watched Harry Potter for the first time during lockdown, I think, or just a bit after. Yeah, well, lockdown was 5 years ago. Before, it was later than that.
Those first few films must have been a bit weird to watch.
Yeah, watching, I was like,
first few were a bit.
This can't be the ones you guys have
didn't. Yeah, didn't yeah, understand.
But did you continue with it though?
I got to part two. It's a bit scary.
Really?
It's a bit scary.
I would say grow up a little, man.
It's a tiny bit.
Were you scared of Doctor Who as well?
Terrible. Do you know that one? Yeah. Okay. No, the one with the angels.
Oh yeah, great episode.
Goodness, yeah.
Amazing
when
episode.
When move every time you please.
Can we agree that Doctor Who's one of the best shows of all time?
I've said this on this pod before.
I think it's one of the best shows of all time.
Doctor Who conceptually is the great concept of a TV show ever. I don't think there's a TV show.
Professional.
Never watched it.
No. No, sorry.
Fair. That's fair enough as well.
Yeah. Surprising, I know.
Yeah.
We'll never watch what, sorry? Oh, Doctor Who?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Okay. Why?
I don't know.
I can't understand time. What are you trying to say?
No.
You got no taste.
No, because he hasn't really talked about, like, Doctor Who wasn't, like, seasonal. Like, he used to come on for a bit, stop, then come on for a bit as well. I don't think there's many shows where Gaz has watched over, like, the space of 10, 15 years.
It's a lot, yeah. When I say it's one of the best shows of all time, to be fair, I've only, like, I'm talking about Christopher Eccleston, David Tennant.
Yeah.
That era. And a bit of Peter Capaldi.
My guy, Matt Smith, what an actor.
One of the best actors in the world. Love
it. But with Doctor Who, he can literally make it whatever type of show you want to make, and it still makes sense.
Okay.
Just based on the concept of what Doctor Who is. Yeah. That's what I think is, like, conceptually the best TV show.
What about yourself, Manny? What did you...
Oh, no, I didn't answer the question. So.
Because you were taking too long.
Watch, yeah. No, because we were derailed.
Okay.
Misfits. Come on. But this is like, it was everything Channel 4. And when I was
E4, Channel 4 girl. Yeah, and then
EastEnders.
Of course.
Is it 25 years? What's 40, the anniversary?
40th anniversary.
That's terrible for me.
Love you.
That's really bad.
25, you know.
Do you watch EastEnders?
Yeah, well, not anymore, but like back in the day.
EastEnders was great, though.
Oh, my goodness.
It's incredible.
Michael Moon, one of the best TV characters ever.
Yeah. Incredible.
Cat Slater.
She had moments.
Yeah.
Okay.
that was
we all laughed. That means you said something.
See, sometimes I'm just funny without knowing it.
No, back it in. So I'm just on that, guys.
Now, Misfits is quality.
Yeah.
Any yourself? Same type of shows, though.
Same type of shows, and probably stuff that I haven't mentioned. I don't know. I used to really like the shows that used to come on BBC, like BBC Three or BBC After.
Stuff
like Kitching. I used to bang out.
Come on, classic.
Watch The Queen's Nose when I was much younger.
Oliver Twist on ITV was quality.
Bernard's
Watch, sorry. That's what I meant. Bernard's Watch.
There was a show called Oliver Twist, no?
Yeah, no, I don't know. Maybe.
What's Bernard's Watch?
Maybe it was just happened. I don't remember Bernard's Watch.
I can't remember the specific context of the show, so we'll move on. Yeah. Back to Manny.
Do you ever used to watch the on Saturday mornings when they used to have it on CITV? Can't remember. They used to have Anton Deck and what's the name?
Cat Slater. No, Cat Deely.
Yeah, Cat Deely? Maybe.
Did you watch Tricky TV?
What's Tricky TV?
On CITV.
No.
And you could like...
Crazy.
Did you ever watch it? I just...
You're getting me laughing.
Yeah, it's an age thing. No,
CITV.
Aren't you like 19?
Am I mixing up CITV with Milkshake?
No, I don't want to agree with him.
Does anybody remember Milkshake?
Milkshake, what's Milkshake?
Yeah, you watched Milkshake on 5.
Yeah, Milkshake.
Yeah. I think there's obviously...
how old
age difference.
I'm 21. Turning 22 this month.
Oh God, I don't agree with you.
But I will say I'm a bit of a, because I've got three older brothers, so I'm a bit of an honorary 90s baby. Like I think the best sitcom.
No, you're not.
Ever.
You were talking about No Vaseline as like, this song. Like this is an old guy.
Yeah. I think 2003. I think. Yeah, I'm not talking about like the actual. I'm just talking about because the people that
the media that you consumed.
Yeah. Kenan and Kel is one of the best shows of all time, best sitcom, in my opinion. I love it. Mm. Yeah, man. No, I think like that era, My Wife and Kids, all that stuff. That's like TV I hold beloved. Mm.
No. I got a question for you.
Go.
And you can't think about the answer. You have to just give it.
Yep.
It's gonna be bullshit. The smile on his face is gonna be bullshit.
He's probably gonna catch me out on some gun.
Which brother do you prefer, Eben or Bed?
Hey! Damn! Oh, you can't do this to me on camera.
That's
very crazy. You can't. I don't. You know. Yeah. I don't. I feel like I'm the only one that doesn't have a favorite because there's five of us, and them lot is like Ben and Eman are probably each other's favorite because they grew up together.
Aww.
Then Michael is his favorite is probably Eman because that's his older, and they were da da da. Then I was 4 years. They're all 2, 2, 2. I was 4 years after Michael, so I was like separate. They call me the forgotten child. And then, but that's because I'm an introvert and I don't really go outside.
Everything,
and,
I don't know.
Continue, don't mind.
I know, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
You need your guts.
I know. And I love it. 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 They call me Forgotten Child because.
He like, repeated it. Oh my God.
Because
you wanted to get that off.
Yeah.
Context. Because everywhere we went and all that stuff and I would always be the one that was like hiding or staying at home and So it was always where's Joshua?
I said Home Alone, you know.
Yeah, like I've never. Yeah, but then Gabriel came 10 years after me, and Gabriel was like the beloved.
Oh my gosh, the
beloved.
Baby.
Yeah, the beloved last kid, yeah. And he's like, apparently, I said to my mum when he was born, I was like, so you're just gonna throw me away like garbage? Like, I don't, because I was attached to the hip.
You were 10 years old.
Yeah,
get a grip.
I love my mama. What's going on, bro? When you, my mum fathered 5 boys. You have a certain attachment to your mum at that point, man. Mm, yeah. Like, come on, man. That's yeah. Big up, mama.
Your mum had 5 boys.
Yeah, bro.
The last one was praying for a girl.
It was Gabriel was meant to be a girl. He was on the ultrasound. He was a girl, and then came out a guy. And it was crazy.
That's one of my worst nightmares.
To have 5 boys.
To have boys.
Mama had 4 boys, and then my little sister came last, didn't it?
Favorite child.
Of course, she's the favorite child. What wouldn't she be?
Oh my gosh.
So Josh, how does that go from.
Can I ask you the question? What did you watch growing up?
Oh, you can. The Bill, yeah. EastEnders.
Started as he means to go
like
on.
Like Hollyoaks.
Yeah.
All the soaps, to be fair.
Yeah, I loved
the
soaps.
I didn't really get into like. The types of shows that I watched today until probably like university, if I'm honest with you.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it took me a while to sort of dive into it. But yeah, a lot of the shows that everyone watched, EastEnders, The Bill, Hollyoaks was great. I used to watch even like Neighbours, Home Alone.
Yeah.
All of them.
Do you know what, guys?
Every single one.
I used to think Margot Robbie was British because I was so certain Neighbours was a British show. I could not tell the accents weren't
really
British.
Was it Australian?
Yeah. I was so certain.
Yeah, Neighbours and Home Alone.
The only Australian show I've watched is... H2O Just Add Water.
Oh my gosh, I loved H2O. H2O was so good.
H2O was a banger still.
That was such a good show. Oh, that was peak Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got good taste.
She left me.
Also, now you left me. What's going on?
You got me.
Yeah, talk to us about that sort of transition for you then, in terms of obviously someone that grew up loving arts as a whole. You had your brothers around you as well.
Yeah.
How do you then transition into like, the industry that you find yourself in today, those sort of first early steps for you is more what I'm asking about.
Yeah.
Was the first thing you ever did, Festival Slaps?
Yes. Straight out of, I just finished sixth form. I trashed my exams, but knew.
Okay.
I can't remember. I think it was so bad I almost failed drama, I'm pretty sure.
Come on.
What were you doing?
No.
I'm not. Well, I was.
What's her name?
That is out of pocket.
Sorry, my brother.
He said white girls.
And you said white girls.
But yeah, no, I just.
Is that what you stuck out your tongue?
No, I wasn't though. I wasn't. I promise I wasn't. Obviously, like, I weren't on that in school. I promise.
So you wait until he's now. Sorry.
But in school, because I was so adamant I was going to be an actor, me and the education system, even before that, were never really cool like that. So I hated it. And when it got to sixth form, it just got too hard. So I just stopped.
What did you study?
I did double English and drama because that's the only way I would have got into that school.
Oh, right.
The story good. I think, you know, because I'm younger, the GCSEs that we did have numbers.
Yeah.
And you had to get into the school I wanted to get into, you had to get 40. I got 40.5.
A PE 0.5. They gave you a PE 0.5 somewhere.
The 0.5 is I got a 5.5 in PE somehow. And that got me into the school.
Damn,
and so I sat at the desk with the head teacher and my dad beside me. Oh, no. I was going, listen, because all my boys were going to that school. I said, listen, I'll do anything you want me to do. Just let me in, please. And the only good grade I got was a 9 in English lit somehow. But I don't know how. I blagged it. I don't know how. I went into that exam with a pencil and I said, God, the wheel is yours.
Not even a pen. Oh, God. That's someone that didn't want to pass.
I said, God, the wheel is yours. And he answered. So got into the school. And then, yeah, it was just yeah, I crumbled under the pressure in sixth form, and then everybody was like revising and all that. I just sat there playing games on the computer and all that. Slept in my English exam. But I was COVID era, so some of the marks were based in the classwork. So I bust, God actually, I don't want to say COVID was a blessing, but I bust case still. But I got into drama school anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered.
How was drama school? I had lots of different experiences about it, so yeah, I'm really
interested. I didn't go, but my boys that went to drama school, I'm not going to name the school, but my boys that went.
Is it the...
Say, no, it's not that. Yeah.
Because everyone hates that one.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, they all say, bro, you dodged a bullet. Especially knowing the type of actor I am as well. They're like, you dodged a bullet.
What type of actor would you describe yourself as?
That's a really good question.
My agent...
He's good at his job.
He is really good at his job.
My agent signed me off the basis of... Usually you get signed off of like reels and stuff like that and da da da. But like Festival of Slaps, I did as soon as I came out of sixth form at 17. And then I did one Doctor's episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I signed to my agent now. And he signed me. None of them stuff had come out. I literally just sent him self-tapes that I'd done in my bedroom.
Crazy.
One I did on Snapchat and sent it to him.
Filters?
And he
the dog filter. Filters,
no filters, no filters.
And my dog, you know my mama.
If you lot have watched the film Francis Ha, it was a monologue from that film that I did on Snapchat, and I sent it to him, and he kind of just saw kind of the natural instincts man had and all of that stuff, and he was like,
"He's a really good agent." Because he is. Signed you for Snapchat, bro.
Nobody really should have, but he took a mad bet on me, and God willing, it worked. Yeah, but like, yeah, he kind of just saw the naturalism and all of that stuff, and he was like, you definitely got something that if you go to drama school, it'll probably get stripped away.
Mm.
So he signed me, and then...
It's kind of similar to like people talk about football academy sometimes. Like when you go in there, and kind of take away those raw instincts you might develop playing on the streets.
Yeah.
Same thing with basketball, all types of sports, really,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
it's kind of relatable.
Yeah. For sure.
Festival Slap, go on.
Something's a bitch, sorry.
What was he going? Wait, what?
No, I guess he's looking at me shaking his head. I said to you.
Wait, why is he shaking his head?
Exactly, because he's just being a bitch.
Because she said, yeah, and just looking at his head. Actually knows what you're talking about.
No, did that thing again.
I haven't seen Festival Slaps. First thing I've seen you is something we'll talk about in a second.
Mm-hmm.
So just give me a bit of an insight into Festival.
Okay, so Festival of Jacob.
Now you can do it if you
want. You can tell us how you
if you've watched it. Okay, go ahead.
That's why I've watched it, because Tom Michi's in it, so I watched it.
Big up Tom.
It's a short. It's Tom Michi's character is at dinner with his family, but he's mainly his mum. And the whole thing is about a slap, but it's like the story of
multiple slaps.
Yeah, it's about a festival slaps.
Oh, okay, I think I know where we're going now.
Yeah. But it's like the lead up until that exact moment, and like the relationship he's had with his mum prior. And it's like the first half is about flashbacks with his mum and like their relationship growing up, and then after something happens.
Basically, the concept is with every
that was really bad.
The concept is with every slap, he gets sent back to his past.
Okay.
And he like you know, flash before your eyes. It's that concept. So every time he gets slapped, we go to 2004 first, then we go to 2008, and I play younger Tom, and it's just a film about motherhood, really, and how much you know, we undervalue it, and how much of a part they play in our lives, especially black mothers. Say again.
It's an interesting duality because of the title Festival Slaps. The way I imagined it being was like misbehaving.
Yeah, but that's
like
that's
gonna hold some. You know what I'm saying?
That's the play on it. Like at first you think it's just that, but then it gets mad deeper towards the end, and we see the flip.
A bit sad. Like it's caught me off guard, and I was like, oh.
And I think it's my proudest work to this day.
Really?
Yeah.
As a performance?
Not even performance wise. I think in terms of the product, what it represents, and also because of my personal connection to it, because of my mum and the five boys and all that. But also, yeah, just the fact that it's so different, it's daring, and I feel like it's almost a first in black cinema. And I'm a huge advocate for the we need to move the needle thing. And Abdu dared to do that, and it worked. Oh. And we went all the way to the BAFTAs. So, like,
nice.
I'm so proud to have been a part of that. You know what I mean? And yeah, just been able to showcase that. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's it.
Are you crying?
No. No.
Lovely.
No.
And what? What
I can't even fake cry. I'm out of myself right now.
Can you cry like on the spot?
No.
In a scene, would you?
I haven't cried.
You haven't gone through enough
years.
Of that. I can do it.
I know, but you know what? It's crazy. It's like, I feel the emotion. I feel like every emotion you probably feel when you cry, but for some reason the tears just don't drop. I don't know why.
You can still portray
it. I've tried
pain,
before.
Though.
Like, I've tried fully. Like, felt all the
can
emotions.
Can you guys cry on cue? You guys don't gaslight enough. That's what it's
interesting. Sounds like a good thing.
As a chief gaslighter.
Okay.
You give me one reason to cry, I'll cry.
You cry.
Damn.
And what came next for you after Festival of Slaps?
Festival of Slaps, I did one Doctor's episode, which we shall not talk about.
Okay. What happened in there?
Nothing, but it's just like...
What did you do?
It's almost like a... Nothing. It's like an unwritten rule that you just like... It's like you do a Doctor's episode and it's like... Yeah.
Do you know what it feels like?
It's like the groundwork, you know, you just do the episode. It's like everybody does it. It's like The Bill, when The Bill was popular. Yeah. I've never watched it, but everybody wanted to be on The Bill.
That's why I literally said the same thing about The Bill, to be fair. I think America have Law and Order. That's their like...
Yeah. Law and Order, yeah.
Everyone's been on Law and Order. So
did that and then got signed to my agent, who I'm with at the moment. And then my first audition, and this is showing you how God works, he took the bet on me. And then my first two auditions with him were Masters of the Air, which I didn't get.
The Apple TV series.
And then a series by AMC in America called Moonhaven. It was a sci-fi. And I booked it. I booked that job. I think I was like cast number 10 or 11 or 12 or one of them. And flew out to Ireland as an 18-year-old alone to do this thing.
A baby.
And it was an amazing experience. It taught me so much. I got to work with some amazing actors. You guys have seen Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah.
I don't know which one he plays. I think he might play Merry.
Stop. Why are you making a face?
I'm not making a face.
I haven't. That's why I asked you guys.
Horse is the Lord of the Rings guy out of all of us.
Who's scarier? I've watched Lord of the Rings.
But you're gone.
He's like, go on, bro.
But yeah. Yeah. I got to work with him. He was playing my dad. Don't ask. It was like some moon. It was like the sci-fi is like we colonize the moon and people adopt kids and it's like this weird culture. He is a white man. Like the family was like white man, Asian wife, and then an Asian kid, a white kid, and me. It was really weird, but like still
Cinderella story.
Great dynamic we had
with Brandy.
Yeah,
I'm sure people liked it. It was going to go for a season 2, but got cancelled. I enjoyed the experience. And it was just, it was, I don't know. It helped me kind of beat imposter syndrome a bit. Because I remember the first day before shooting, I was looking in the mirror like, damn, I got to do this right. Like, I got to blow. I got to show the world that I'm a cold actor. But then I was like...
About 18?
Yeah.
On your
everybody feels
booking.
It. Yeah, everybody feels it. Everybody, yeah. Like... If you haven't felt imposter syndrome early on, I'll be very surprised at any age, because like, especially in the UK, it feels like they've built it so there's such a competition that there's only limited spots, especially for black actors. Mm. So like, you're like, if I want to blow, I have to, you know, I have to show people that I'm the best and da 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 da. But then I just kind of let go of that because I was like, Josh, you walked into the audition room and they picked you for a reason.
Yeah.
So do your thing. And then the director will direct you however he wants. Like, don't try and play a good performance, because then your acting is going to show. And we don't want to see that. We want to see you be the character. Mm. So, yeah, that I think that was one of the biggest lessons. But the transition, it was weird, because it's like, it wasn't this mad, like, I can pinpoint a moment where everything went boom. Mm. It was quite smooth. And then, like, jobs I did quite back-to-back-to-back. So, it was just been learning, innit?
So you do that shoot in Ireland, and then when does... Because it's Borders first, then it's Supercell.
No.
Supercell, then Borders.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. So I did...
Yeah,
I did
one came out first, but yeah.
I did Moonhaven, then went straight onto a town called Malice, 18, 19 years old. Then went on to Supercell straight after that, 19 years old. Then did Borders the summer of 2020. Summer of 2023, and then summer of 2024, we did season 2, yes.
Do you want to know what's really interesting? But this time, I would say last year, we did an episode of the shows we were looking forward to the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to give you your flowers. Yeah,
thank you.
And one of the shows that Bisola picked out, and she said she has so much faith. Like, she was steadfast in her opinion. She said, Ratman's going to deliver with this series.
Wow.
Where I think a lot of people doubted him. I think it's fair to say they did.
Uh-huh.
But they doubted him with this series.
It's fair to say, like, valid, yeah.
No, as in, didn't have faith that he could produce a series that would be worth interest, being of interest or investing in. And Bisola was of the complete different opinion. And she said that she thinks the series is going to be really good without knowing too much about it.
Yeah.
And the series took off, man. It went crazy.
Mm.
Bis, why did you have so much faith in Ratman?
It was
and
the same thing
as well?
I said, yeah. It was, firstly, we banter him a lot, yeah? And don't get me wrong, I'm always there present for the banter. But I do think the ability, like hip-hop operas. Like when we talk about hip-hop, yeah? And then talk about operas and stuff, yeah? That's what it feels like. It's like a musical. And I think musicals are really impressive.
Hamilton did what it did,
like,
for a reason.
That's what I'm saying. I think like musicals and stuff are actually really impressive, but this is a deeper conversation. But there are certain things that get pushed down in terms of how important, how impressive they are because of who the like target demographic is. And I think musicals...
The genre of music.
It's not even just the genre of music. It's one thing. It's like when things appeal, like when things appeal to like young girls and stuff, they're always deemed as something that's not that important or that impressive.
Okay.
We can't really like, oh, just the musical. It's just that. But the ability to do that stuff isn't easy. And I think Ratman has managed to do it with Blue Story or with like all the other work he's done before. Even his like roundup every year. Don't get me wrong. I'm always on Twitter laughing at them. But I do think it's impressive to do a rap of what's happened the whole year. Like it is, the skill of doing that kind of stuff is... It's kind of difficult.
Musicals,
and I think he does it.
Some of the best, yeah. I think that's,
but that's the thing I'm
my
saying, that
favorite medium of storytelling.
Fantastic.
Really?
Yeah,
it's impressive as hell.
I'm a musical theater kid though, so yeah. But like, definitely, I think there's just so much to convey with that medium. It's
yeah.
It's mad. It's mad. It's mad. It's
is
mad.
Hamilton your favorite musical?
Yeah, I don't want to be obvious, but yeah. I will.
That's the first time.
Do you know what I mean? I was like,
well, because you guys are wrong about me. I do. I'm not one of them. I just, my opinions are my opinions, and yeah. I do have some opinions that may. We both like H2O. What's going on? but I will say though, when Ratman said he was putting down the mic for this one, we were like, okay,
yeah.
Let's focus your storytelling in a different manner.
Yeah, the things I knew if he could do that, I trust him to make a good series. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, other things. Based in South London. You've got me there already.
Yeah. You know what really got you?
Yeah. Trusty Cole.
You know what? I don't know why you think
that's unusual story.
I was thinking GH, but that kind of makes, yeah, Tossin. We've spoken about Tossin loads of times.
Yeah.
You like GH as well, though, no?
Who's GH?
Guess.
Look at you. What a man.
You're a sick woman with sick thoughts.
Yeah, like a really amazing cast. Really, yeah. And it's got, I've forgotten the name, it's got Gets in My Mind.
Some Girls.
Yes.
Adeleo.
Adeleo, yeah.
BAFTA nominated actress.
Come on, round of applause. Yeah, yeah.
Big up, man.
Yeah, so it was like the cast based in South London. And also, we've kind of seen it done already before, so I trusted it to be good. Like, I watched Misfits and I loved Misfits. And if it was at least almost as good as that, it's good enough for me.
Mm.
That was just my truth, honestly. So going into it, I was like, this is going to be fine. So everyone talking on Twitter, like, oh, Brett Mandel, I was like, guys, shut up.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. And you know, everyone was focusing on that one scene when Taser's character is chasing Diggity's character. Yeah. All
is this based on the series or what you saw before it came out?
Before it came out, because the trailer had like, it was a compilation of all those like big moments. Everyone was like, oh, it's always in the hood. I was like, shut the fuck up and just wait for the show.
People kind of changed their opinion.
And look
it,
at me, I was there first. I was there at the beginning.
You was there first. Josh, what drew you to the series? And Taser as a character as well.
It took a lot, I won't lie.
I think I know why, but you tell us.
Yeah, so I saw it got greenlighted like a year before we even auditioned. And I said to my agent, yo, in the room, please. I need to be in the room. like a year later goes by and then a good friend of mine hits me up and goes, yo, can you help me with an audition? I'm like, yeah, cool. And it's for Super Soul. I said, I swear. All right. And then I called my agent. I was like, what's going on? Like, get me in the room. And then he got me the audition for Taser. Bear in mind, I've told my agent at 17 years old when I signed with him,
No
roadman, no slaves.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
So that's probably why he didn't send it to me. Sends it to me, and then I'm like, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Reed decides and we're like, okay. It's like one of the money, power, respect scenes. And then like me and my brothers are like, okay. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. Because people like look at me and I don't look like a real man. I'm not whatever. And a few of my friends were jesting me going like, you couldn't do that. I couldn't see you doing
it. Good kid, Mads.
I said, watch me.
Good kid, Mads.
Go on, kid. I said, my favorite album from him. But I said, watch me. I said, I'm that good. Watch me.
Sick.
And then got to the callback, went in there, did it.
Really good today.
Didn't think anything of it. Went home 2 days later. Ratman's DMing me, give me your number.
Crazy.
Boom. Calls me. He's like, yeah, I want you to do this. Like, you are Taser. You walked in. And we're like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wow, okay, like, damn. But then the decision had to be made. And then me and my brothers were sitting around the campfire kind of going, this is kind of mad, because if you do this...
This is it, pretty much. Almost feels like this is it.
You're in, not in that hole, but you're doing the roadman thing. Like, and it's not something that we were very interested in. But then Raps on the phone, on another phone call, just explained the deeper layers of it. The sickle cell, just the Taser at his core is just a broken kid, and that as an actor speaks to me. That's food on the table. I'm like, oh yeah, that's amazing. Like all the character work there and everything, and those things kind of drew me to the project, and kind of just to play a character from the hood in a different light than anybody else has played them. Usually we see them and it's just angry, blah 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 blah. But this, I wanted to give it a little bit of vulnerability where I could. And just try and make it a bit different, and hopefully I did that. I don't know, but yeah, that's how it came to be. And then we said, yeah, we'll do it.
Manny, Supercell is a series.
Yes.
What aspects of the series did you enjoy the most?
I think the fact that it is a show that and at the core of it is using sickle cell as a disease that obviously affects predominantly people with African descent, and using that and making that into a superpower, something that I haven't never seen before. In film or TV, especially with sickle cell, and
on one of the biggest streaming platform that there is,
the biggest streaming platform, and it's like I thought Supercell was cool. I didn't love the show.
Understandable.
Yeah, I didn't love the show, but I love the concept of it, and I love the fact that it is out there, and I feel like it's one of those shows where, in 10, 15 years time, when we have other young filmmakers that will come up to say, I was inspired by Supercell, because we don't really get that much sci-fi. Yeah. We don't get that much like fantasy with black people in this aspect. And this is one of the things that just being exposed to something like this with people that look like you, I feel like that would do a lot for somebody, to a filmmaker, to an actor, to feel like they can do these type of roles. They can create these type of films. They can create these type of shows.
You know what, with you as well, you're somebody that appreciates risk taking, I think.
Yeah.
And I think the series definitely does that with the premise in terms of the sickle cell, as well as the sort of genre bending that it does. Because it's a drama, it's a sci-fi, it's a
comedy at times.
Comedy, it's action, there's so much to it. And I think you appreciate that. But yeah,
this is going to sound crazy, but to what you just said, I felt that for the first time with Captain America, I'm not gonna lie.
The latest
one. Mackie one, yeah.
I'm not gonna watch it.
Fair enough, but like I'm a Marvel fan, but like I feel like I just kind of tapped out because this era is terrible, isn't it? But I've never felt I posted this on my story. I've never felt the I need to be seen for me to feel like ABC. But seeing Anthony Mackie and the guy that plays Isaiah Bradley, another person who I'd love to play a young version of.
He's amazing.
And just there was the other black girl as well. I forgot her name.
She was she's the agent for Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah. Her. And it was like, seeing Black Panther and all that is cool and Miles Morales, but like Captain America is the flagship for this franchise.
Yeah.
And they let Anthony Mackie do this. I don't know why, but in that fit, I was like, bro, this is cold, man.
I know it's
so
a pivot. I know it's a pivot, but the fan base reaction has been like really, really positive, which contradicts the sort of critical, the sort of journalists and so on and so forth, which I really like. I like the fact that you can take someone's opinion and still make your own and don't have to sort of...
Yeah.
Because the critics were panning the film, and I don't think it's anywhere near as bad as those.
Yeah, it's not
a good film. Like it's just a good film that's flawed, but it's good. It's a base standard good film. Yeah,
I think there was a point that was made in the film that I believe makes Anthony Mackie low key, his character, like, not a better Captain America than Chris Evans, but like the fact, like, one of the characters, I'm not going to say who said it, but there was a monologue that said, like, the reason Steve chose you is because, not because of the superpowers.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
You're a human being who is Captain America. That makes anybody else go, I could do that if I really wanted to. That makes you more important than a Captain America.
Yeah.
And like, I was like,
double-layered message for Anthony Mackie. Obviously,
yeah.
Like, Batman playing that role. And it's been interesting because we've had my guy, Sterling K. Brown, leaving Paradise. And he's been doing such a good job.
I need to tap into the show.
What an actor.
What a flipping actor, bro.
That last episode.
Last episode's crazy. But a tad overrated, I think. Just
a tiny bit. Yeah.
I think it's the best episode of the season.
Yeah.
But you're not completely sold on the season as a whole anyway.
I think the season is good. I just have a lot of issues with it. I have one issue with it.
I do understand the whole spoon feeding thing. Watching that and then watching Severance, it is like, it feels like polar opposites.
And I'm not trying to, and I'm not even trying to compare the two, because
that's not a bad thing.
Possible.
That's
I think you can.
It's like comparing Kedrick and Cole.
Okay. Rule out.
His lip quivered when he said it. He was so excited to get it off. He's a piece of shit. I know, he was laughing and he went, whoa. No, I think just, we've madly pivoted, but I want to get this off. See, I agree with your point, but I think we can appreciate like different things from a show. So like, I love the fact that Severance can be so multi-layered and there's some aspects of the show, hands in the air. I still don't understand.
No, there are certain things.
I'm still trying to...
People are going out of their way to say things that aren't happening.
Do you know what I mean?
And that's the hill I'm really
stuck. But then there can be a show that you can just...
Watch.
Just watch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think Paradise kind of just fits. It's not like the most... I'm not saying it's...
Is it as cold as people are saying?
It's a good show. I get why people love it. It's just one aspect that I just love in film and TV that they do that I don't like. I don't like the way they do that particular thing.
I think it's quite American TV, it feels like. Big American productions feel like I'm always being spoon-fed information.
And I hate it so much.
That's constantly a thing they do a lot of time, like huge productions as well. And Paradise is a huge production.
Yeah.
And it's like, here's everything that's happening very literally. Like, the end of episode one, when,
I think that's when it started.
I was like, I'm not gonna lie, it made me go, damn.
No, I would definitely say to watch it.
Episode two,
if anything,
it's a good series, man.
What's the word for it? Exposition is like my worst. I hate it so much. So.
And they use flashbacks to explain too much.
But they have to.
They don't have to.
No, because they actually have to.
They can explain.
I don't want to hear a conversation. Like, actually show me. Because certain things, like the relationship with Kyle and Xavier, we had to see it happen to understand.
I think that's the one they've handled the best.
Those flashbacks make complete sense to me.
They've handled it.
Because that's the only way that we can get a character understanding of those two characters. Mm-hmm. Because obviously one of them, one is gone. That makes sense. The other ones, you can explain it through.
Sinatra, I need to know why Sinatra behaves the way she does.
To be fair, I'd rather a flashback than a
conversation. Trust me. No, because, but the flashbacks are so important.
When I say a conversation, it's not like you say everything that they say in the flashback, you can just hint to stuff. Like, Sinatra being the way that she is, we didn't need to get a whole flashback.
Go on. Sorry, I was interrupting you. I didn't need to continue.
It's okay. We need to get a whole flashback in terms of her character, her motivations. And like, right now, I understand everything that you're going to do because of this 5-minute scene. You could have fed it to us through the conversations that we have. We could have known that
Spoilers.
Yeah.
But I get what you mean. I get what you mean. Severance has done it, innit? Little drips and drabs. You don't really need to.
Basically, it's the only thing I'm watching weekly. That's why I'm comparing them.
By the way, Julianne Nicholson.
You're not watching Invincible?
Yeah. The last episode?
Oh.
You're
not watching, watching Invincible?
I'm not.
I'm behind.
Phenomenal.
This season? The themes?
I've not spoken about it.
Aaron Paul.
I think it's...
That GCs or... Yeah, I didn't know you was watching. We're in the same. We talk about filming.
Yeah, you know, no one has brought it up, so I don't know. I just haven't thought about it.
I just share my thoughts.
I think this might be the best season so far.
Really?
Yeah.
This season has low key pissed me off just because of Mark, man. Mark is a.
I feel like he's not.
He is. He's trying.
He's on that arc, innit?
He's on. But I get it because he's going through internal conflict in terms of what happens at the end of season one, with he's not holding so much guilt, and he doesn't know how to essentially be a hero anymore. So
brother.
He does. And I get it.
He got his off.
But I think Oliver is the best character.
Oh, my. Oliver's amazing.
He is such a good character.
And
I love that.
And I feel like the way they're setting up so Mark and Oliver have to have a conflict.
Yeah. I would love to see that. But I low-key think Oliver would beat his ass.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, like.
Yeah, 100%.
This Mark guy, like, you're meant
to... No, not right now, because Mark is always holding back.
But what, how long are we going to have this until this because it froze hands, like, bro?
Over 2,000 people died and it feels guilty about it, bro.
I don't give a... Okay, no, okay, that's deep. But like...
Yeah, remember, 2,000...
This is what superhero stuff does to us. And this is why I was watching something and it was like, Powerplex's character arc in that episode was so great because this show doesn't just neglect the people that die.
That's what I think is the best season because they've been doing that quite a lot with the cold openings, like with the two robbers where they're trying to rob banks.
Yeah.
Everyone thought, like, fuck it, I'm going to... So there's one cold opening where they have two robbers trying to rob a bank and then they see, like a woman that's pregnant and they realise, like, they keep scaring these people. So let's do it legitimately. So they try to go back into the world, like, take jobs at normal. But then the more that they live in this world, they realise how messed up and corrupt it is. They eventually get to the point where we don't actually have any money to live or survive. They try to rob banks again. And while they're robbing banks, you get Invisible and his brother coming to beat their ass up. But these are just normal guys that are not trying to harm anybody. Yes, they're thieves. But I feel like Invisible taking it too far. And I think that's what this season has been setting up in terms of, like, Invisible, he never looks into the grey area. It's either black or white, but he's very contradictory with that. Like, he's willing to forgive. Everyone's seen season one, right?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
You haven't watched anything?
I have. I've watched the first three episodes.
Okay, so yeah, you haven't watched anything?
Yeah.
I don't even know what's going to happen. Like,
I don't know, because the end of the first episode made me go, oh my goodness, this is going to be a really good show.
And it is.
And then I was watching it when I was at work. That used to be the thing.
Yeah, I used to use my time at work to watch shows as well.
Yeah, all the time.
I still do.
Yeah.
But at the end of season one...
they could be listening.
You're going to get bobbied.
Like, Mark is willing...
It's an old job.
Like, Mark is willing to forgive his dad for all the crimes that he's done. Trying to give him a second chance. But somebody that's robbing a bank, you're not even trying to hear them out for the reason, and you're quick to throw every single criminal in jail, but you never look at yourself in the mirror saying, I've done effed up shit, but I could keep getting second chances, but all these other people don't deserve second chances. Why? And I think that's the conflict of the building in season three. I don't think thematically they've done a better job in the first three seasons. I think season three is... Don't.
Sorry. We do have to move on.
Sorry.
The series that I guess, in terms of you as an actor, we've all fallen in love with is Borders. So Manny put me onto the show. He did a review for it on his TikTok, which was really good. And I watched it. I hate binging shows, firstly. I hate binging shows. It's not my thing. She's a big binger. I hate binging.
I'm a big binger.
But I did binge Borders, and I really enjoyed the series. And it just seemed to, like, I feel like...
Season one or two? Did you
season know? One.
Okay.
Well, both, actually.
Yeah, because you binge season two.
Shut up, man.
Yeah.
And, like, it seemed to really take off on, like, social media, which I love. I feel like the word of mouth of the series kind of took it to people's homes and people's hearts. Where do you think season two now, in terms of how did you sort of elevate your performance from season one to season two?
I think elevate my performance. How?
Did you? Do you think there's a difference in how you approach?
There's an improvement in my acting. I think with every actor, every job you do, there's always an improvement. You'll always see an improvement. So if you watch my stuff in chronological order, Supercell.
You said the same thing, didn't
it? Like, if you watch Supercell Borders instead of Borders Supercell, you'll see how that was a leap in my acting. Yeah.
Because I watched Borders first, and then Supercell. And then I found out the Supercell came out first. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said the same thing, to be fair.
And I was worried about that. I was worried people would think I regressed when they watched Supercell. But obviously, definitely season two, like, naturally, I think everybody got better at acting in season two. Oh my God, the guys had such a great progression in their craft. And I think...
Who do you think took a bigger leap forward?
I think Aruna, mainly because he came from stage. And Jody, she was from season one to two, her performance was amazing.
Mm. Manny, for Borders, you're the one that put me onto the show.
Yeah.
I love the series. I want to know your thoughts. You kind of, your TikTok went crazy with that specific video as well. What made you watch the series, and what have you enjoyed about the first two seasons, or what haven't you enjoyed about the first two seasons?
What made me get into the series was just the premise of the whole show, about five teenagers from London going to a boarding school and seeing how their relationship progressed through that. I can't remember exactly what the... summary was before I watched it, but I was interested enough. And it's funny, I was having a conversation with Kiz before the pod. It's like, I like Borders. I understand its importance, but I feel like if I was like in my late teens, I would love it a lot more. And also just because that genre itself is not something that I will go to on a day-to-day basis. Like, I don't necessarily think I'm the target audience for the show. But
what do you think the target audience is?
I think like late teens, early 20s.
But what do you think they look like?
Okay.
What would you say?
Because I'm late teens, early 20s. I think it's a bit younger than that.
Yeah.
I would agree. Especially because like watching Misfits when I was, I don't know, I'm going to assume I was like maybe 14, 15. And they were like late teens, innit? That was meant for me as a teenager, watching older teenagers. And I think that's just kind of the same. Yeah.
What year did Misfits come out? 2009?
Yeah.
You were like, free?
Clerk.
Yeah, but this is why no one likes you.
Man, and I'm so fine with that.
Manny, what did you like about the show, though?
So I like the premise of it.
Beat the 04 allegations, innit?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
It's fine. I like the premise of it. I like the fact that the cast is black, and I think
the young
black. Actors. I really so this what let me speak on what I really liked the season was Femi's arc. There was a scene in the last episode, and I can't lie, I cheered.
Oh, with the headmistress.
The headmistress, right at the end, where when it's like essentially blackmails her.
She's a piece of shit, by the way.
Lovely woman though, loveliest woman on the planet.
I remember.
Zola, shut up, man.
What I can't say.
There's something that you mentioned when Tedeku. Apologies.
No worries.
Tedeku hub. Shout out to.
If it was Neve, you can pronounce that easily.
If it was what?
If it was Neve, you can pronounce that name easily, isn't it?
Nah, he just struggles as a whole, man.
Shout out to your brothers, Eamon and Ben. They put on a screening for.
Sorry, yo, we went to a hood screening of Borders. Yeah, let me say something right now. That was a hood screen. That's the first time I saw when we came back here, yeah? So, obviously, Jaheim's character, Cyril Whiteman lover, yeah? If he's going to... If it ain't snowing, he ain't going.
Yeah. Can I just say on record, I do not agree with my character's actions.
Okay.
I'm playing a character.
Yeah, so the first, like... The first 10 minutes of the show, yeah, there's like a 2-minute scene of Jaheim just shagging.
That was like 27 minutes going. Yeah. It stopped.
And it's kept going. But this will be the best. Everyone in the cinema was like, Bunny happened. That shit was so fucking funny.
Still funny as devil.
Of course, I was the loudest in the room.
I heard it from outside. Yeah. I was just there. Me and Miles were like,
yeah, for me. Yeah,
but there was something because they did a Q&A at the end of it, and it's something that you mentioned in terms of your character arc.
Yeah,
and just that there was obviously some writing decision that you weren't necessarily on board for.
Yeah,
and I just want you to talk about that in general as an actor playing a role.
Yeah,
and seeing how it's written and not necessarily agreeing with it or having some reluctancy to play a particular part. How do you combat that with the writers or the director? How do you approach that?
Honest conversations, innit? And then however they take it is the way they take it, whether they're the type to be collaborative, whether they're the type to be offended, you never know. And I'm just always, I put myself at risk because I always want to have an honest conversation about it. And if they don't take well to it, then yeah, they might, I don't know, they might feel some type of way or whatever. Da, 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 da. But I won't feel like, I feel like I'll go home kicking myself if I don't have that honest conversation, innit? So though, yeah, like I've been had conversations. I feel like conversation with reps is easier because we're all kind of similar.
Kinfolk.
Like elk and stuff like that. But, you know, when you're having a conversation with the BBC and stuff like that about, I think, you know, like, let's say the Beatrix storyline for instance, big up to Lula, great actress. But with that in season one, I saw it and I was like...
I hated it. Let me tell you why I hated it so much. Because the first thing Beatrix says to Jaheim is weird as shit.
You know, that's my point. So I feel like if you start on that foot, what I said to the team, I was like, a more realistic way to play this, because I don't know why they turned it into a love story. I was like, the most realistic way to play this, as somebody who went to school, I won't say this happened to me, but I went to school in a white environment, the more realistic storyline to indulge in and that I would love to play as an actor is the fetishization thing of she's come to say that and he's indulging in it, not necessarily because he loves her, but because he knows he's going to get sex out of it. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, they both think they're getting what they want out of it, but he's really being used more and he doesn't understand that.
That would be
really cool. I would have loved that. And it would have been great for a TV show like Borders to uncover that, but I don't know if that was their intention. And I just don't know if I saw that when I signed on to the show, innit? So that was something we had to, you know, get over. But yeah, it's just that stuff happens all the time, you know. And yeah, I mean, people enjoy the show, so yeah.
One just thing I like, go on, you go.
Oh, thank you so much. So I think the writing, yeah, and the relationships for the white characters is so good. It's actually the most realistic like writing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like Beatrix and Flo being in that situation, yeah, makes complete sense.
Just wait, what did she do?
I went to a white dominated school.
Whereabouts?
Seriously, is that a shock? Good, thank you. I went to school in North Dulwich.
Actually,
oh, you're one of them.
Maybe not.
Bitch, what does that mean?
I noticed that you and Jodie are similar in the way you advocate for black women so much. That might come from going to a white school.
Yeah, real life.
Yeah,
I like Jodie. That's gonna be my friend. Uh-huh. I decided. So, yeah, watching those interactions, yeah, and watching it on screen, I was like, oh my goodness, they wrote that from real life. One of the writers went through that. Exactly. That. And then, what are they called? The Rascals?
Yeah. Oh, my favourite characters.
You're poor, mate. That's actually, funny. I feel like I've heard that conversation before. Being like, you're poor, mate. That's 100%.
Wow.
That's like perfection. And I don't know how much say you have in if there's going to be a third season, but if Omar and Rupert get together in that third season, I'm never watching that show again. Well, lie to lie, I'm never watching that show. I am going to... Let me tell you something.
I don't know anything about it.
Let me tell you something. Get ahead of it. Next time, guys, get ahead of this problem. I'm not even... Go.
Yeah.
One thing I really enjoyed about the series was Wumi Masako's...
Oh my gosh, man.
That's a British...
That was one of my favourite days.
Hero.
Ever on set.
Yeah, why? Why so? Why was it?
Because before she came on set, she was already one of my favorite actresses of all time in this country. And and when I found out she's going to be playing my mum, I almost had a heart attack. And
her CV is
insane.
Insane. And then Citadel, and then, Batman versus Superman, Fantastic Beast.
Yep.
Deadpool, Wolverine. She was in Loki, Doctors, The Bill. Crazy CV, man.
Yeah. And
Lufa. Oh, yeah. She's one of my faves from the Black British sphere. So yeah, what was it like working with her?
Amazing. She's an amazing person. Obviously, we had Kaide on that day as well. And I don't know, we all got along and the family dynamic just kind of was there already. You know, we were clicking and amazing. And, you know.
And you get on screen and hate each other.
But I thought that storyline made a lot of sense. I had one issue with the writing, and I would have liked to have just seen a bit more vulnerability from Jaheim with his mother, because it just felt like constant hate.
Yep.
And that's understandable because of what's gone on.
I liked that. I really like that he wasn't giving up. Even being a bit like allowing her to be a bit maternal. I really like that he was very like fuck you to the death of it. Mm. I think that was really I feel like it is up and it's stuck with some of your parents. And I feel like I've really enjoyed that.
One thing that I'll say to that is that I would have preferred it if, like I said, a bit more vulnerability because of how it eventually ends. I just feel like the switch up was a bit too quick. I feel like we could have had like a little bit in between.
But that's what I said, the pacing, because there's only 6 episodes. If it was longer, a lot of things would make more sense. Like his brother not getting, being like, oh, we got no bread. They're going on the block straight away. They don't even see you. Little nigga, go home, bro. Go home. Yeah, I never send you shop, bro. Come on. Like, if it was longer, it's a bit more of a build up because obviously he needs to go missing so we can think he's in Crunch. Lo and behold, he's with their mum. But that little situation needs to be longer, so we need more episodes. Okay.
That's probably one of the stronger aspects of the series if it was a bit more flushed out as well.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed season 2. You, Bisola?
I did.
Yeah.
I just want, if we're going to introduce black women into the show, they can't only care about activism. There are too many,
agreed.
Like, the black boys in there get to just be, they get to just live. Jaheim is so self-righteous as a person. He thinks he's better than everyone else. He's allowed to just be a prick. Like, he can just do that. Toby can just be the funny guy and fall in love or whatever. Like, Omar can run around for secret societies and draw and shag random guys and stuff. Like, he can do what he wants to do. They can all do what they want to do, except for Leah. Like, suddenly it's only activism. And then you introduce another black girl and she's a polyamorous lesbian from America that only cares about poets.
Have you met somebody like that before?
You got me.
Who was your favorite character this season?
I will say, can I quickly just say on the Wumi thing, acting with her was like, it was seamless. We were just going boom, 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 boom. That was amazing. Like, that's your dream as an actor, to act across somebody like that. I'll big up Mohamed Matsuri as well. Acting opposite him sometimes is just boom, 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 boom. Yeah, but
No, we really enjoy the series. Hopefully there is a season three.
Who was your favourite character? You don't answer.
I wasn't asked.
Okay, I'm asking you, who's your favourite character?
It's a good question. Jaheim is one of them.
Wow.
But that's mainly no, but that's mainly because of the whole like the introduction of like the mum thing. I found that so interesting.
Clutching
and I just wish there was a bit more sort of it was delved into a bit more. And I tend to like characters that everyone seems to hate as well. So like,
what do you think that is?
I'm like that as well, but not Jaheim.
Look at
shit. Like as in like
right now.
No, but I like characters.
He's gonna play
that...
a younger version of Gaz.
I think I was having a conversation with somebody and we were like, I don't know why. Maybe like it was to do with Shakespeare, like more so in Shakespeare, like the villains are just so interesting, bro.
Yeah.
Like Iago in Othello is like one of the most, I love that character.
Mm.
Cause you know what I mean? Like sometimes you just like the people that are just on demon time. Like for some reason, they're just interesting. They've got such, you know what I mean? I feel like the trend in cinema where we're finally starting to give the villain's backstory as to why they became how they came. I'm starting to love that.
Have you ever watched Descendants?
Descendants.
On Disney.
I'm right into the core. Yeah.
See, I like Kami, and you don't like from the bear. You don't like Kami, do you?
I love Kami.
I do like Kami.
You actually last season three Kami. Season three Kami. I agree with you.
You were
it's too much. Smile once in a while now, bro.
Like,
even with Jaheim, I had to try and smile this second season because I was like, I'm not trying to go down that Kami.
Did it let you smile?
Didn't let you smile. That's how a black boy loses.
Not even they didn't let me smile. Here's what happened. So like season one, it was a thing of they wrote me the most depressing story and then told me to smile. And I was like, that's not authentic and I can't do that for my acting process.
Yeah.
I have to play the truth. Mm-hmm. And then season two, there was more room to smile. So I was like, I'm not gonna, because then season two, they saw I played drama really well in season one. And then they wrote me in bare dramatic stuff. And I was like, no. Like, we're not about to do this where we just pocket Jaheim into this angry black person thing. So I'm going to try and show a bit more joy within the five as well when we interact and stuff like that. And yeah, kind of got that off. But yeah.
Who was your favourite character, Manny?
It's either Miles, who plays Omar, or Aruna, who plays Femi.
Femi was my
favorite. I think this season
he was his end of arc season arc was really
detached the feelings towards the person.
That's genuinely how I feel. That's how I watch TV. Oh yeah, I watch TV in a really unhealthy way. Super parasocial. So it's like I like you as obviously not as the actor, fuck that part, is the actual character.
Mm.
Do I like the character? If they were a real human being, would I like them?
Mm.
I would actually beat up Femi. I fucking hate Femi. I think Femi's such a loser. I think even when Femi had his redemption, he was still a loser. I just want to like shine a bright torch in his eye, be like, you're black. Nigga, you're black. Just in case you didn't know.
But you know people like that though.
Exactly. That's why I hate him so much.
I
hate them in real life as well.
I think if all of them were real people, I'd hate them. I don't think it's real. Well, I think it's slightly realistic.
I think I'd get along with Omar, like a lot.
I think Omar's probably the one I have the best chance of getting along with, but I think I'd hate all of them if they were real people.
I would hate Jaheim so much. I would hate Toby, yeah.
I don't
feel like I'm welcome here anymore.
Yeah, it's only her.
She loves to get her hate off you.
I do.
That's her.
I think it's really healthy to do that.
Yeah, decompressing.
Yeah, but Omar, that's my boo. I forgive him for everything he did in last season.
Before we wrap up the pod, got some couple of not quick fire questions, but things to dive into. One thing that we did last year at the BFI Film Festival, which was really cool, we asked people that we interviewed a film or TV show that they would recommend. So firstly, before we dive into sort of what's up next for you, if you were to recommend something to us to watch or to the audience, what would it be and why?
You should have given me time to think about this, man. Obviously,
something you watched from the beginning.
I'll say Love It, probably.
Really?
Love It, yeah.
Over the Wire, that's a bit of racism there still.
Whoa, but you got, we've all watched The Right Wire here, right?
Not everyone here has watched The Wire, to be fair.
Okay, wow. Well, if you haven't watched it, what are you doing? But I'd say Love Hate because probably nobody's watched it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Love Hate is one of the best TV shows of all time, storytelling wise, and you should definitely give it a chance. You won't regret it. You'll see some great Irish talent, and yeah, man, it's a sick show. It's a sick show. I could rewatch it. I think I rewatch it every year, pretty much.
It's a really impressive cast as well. A lot of them have gone on to big things.
Mm-hmm.
You're an Arsenal fan.
It was Barry Keoghan's first role, I think it was.
He's in season three, I think it is.
Yeah.
Obviously, Aidan Gillen went on to like Game of Thrones. He was in The Wire before that.
Yeah.
He's in Kin. Yeah, he's a really Aidan Gillen.
Aidan Gillen's a legend.
Cold actor, man.
Legend.
Little finger, defining role, man.
Yeah. Oh, Tom Vaughan Lawler, though. Let me give him a flower. He plays Nidge.
Yeah.
That guy is one of my favorite actors right now. Tom Vaughan Lawler. What's he in right now?
You do the same thing Manny does. Everyone's your favorite actor. Everyone's amazing.
I have a love it.
It's not just me.
Yeah, I love it. No. Be that dramatic. I think it's important in life.
No, yeah, like there's a certain amount of love that you exert. Well, it's just like how you hate. I mean, I just don't say my hate out loud like that. I say everybody I love. I don't say unless I really hate you. Yeah. But
I give love all the time.
You know, we polar opposites, you know. But
bitch.
You're I read up you're a gooner. How unfortunate.
I am. Definitely not unfortunate. Well, maybe at this point in time. But
Manny's a gooner as well. He didn't want to tell you for some reason.
I mean, at what point was he gonna say it? He was still talking.
I think, yeah, man, Arsenal's a team full of culture, man. Yeah. Always been that. Always been that, man. Love Relax. Arsenal.
How have you found this season?
Put the mic down.
I'm happy. I was there in person for the North London Derby win at the Emirates. That's the only thing I'm happy about.
When people call you guys the Drip FC, how do you feel about that? How does it make you feel?
We are. I mean, that's partially why we're the team for the culture. We have the best kits and people love wearing the red.
Amazing gowns.
You know, amazing gowns.
I don't think that's a positive.
but, like, we're Drip FC with a history. Some people don't even have the history and they're talking. I don't know if there's any Spurs fans in here, but fuck y'all. You ain't got nothing to your name and you think you can chat bad. Allow it, please. Yeah, United, you're 15th, so I don't know what we're talking about. Chelsea ain't even top four right now. Don't know about that. Yeah, City and Liverpool are really the only guys I really hear it from right now. Liverpool. Yeah.
Of course not City, because they're
Are you from fans. Liverpool or from London?
Not Liverpool.
That speaks for itself. but yeah.
I've got a reason.
Josh, closing that question.
No, wait, I've got something really important to say. What's your favourite sitcom?
Sitcom? Keenan and Kel. No? Does that not count? Yeah. Keenan and Kel.
He was going to say some white people.
Me and Getz got in a heated argument about that because he thinks that's just like, he's like, Keenan and Kel, it's not good, it's just dumb. Like,
wait,
all they
stop,
do is
stop,
just
stop.
Dumb.
Wait, continue. You see the speed of Rudy that she did. She's like, what did he say?
Oh my god.
I'm sorry, carry on.
He's like me, so you might not like him if you don't like me, but hey.
You don't ruin the allure for me again.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But yeah, he was like, it's so dumb. It's just dumb, man. Like, it's just dumb. And I was like, but that's what's so good about it. It's so stupid. It's so funny. Like,
he's older. He shouldn't really enjoy it that much.
No, that's, who says that? My mum loves Keenan and Kel.
No, she would have watched it when she was younger, no?
Huh?
She would have watched it when she was younger. Like,
no, she got into it when we got into it.
Yeah, when you got kids, it's different, though. You watch it with your kids. Everything's good. Like, Bluey's amazing. If you watch it with a young child.
Nah.
Okay, sorry. That's just me then.
Final question for you. Dream collaboration for you in terms of director, an actor, and a show or a film you'd like to appear in?
Show that I'd like to appear in right now.
Something that's currently running would be.
Is probably Severance.
There we go.
Young Milchek, yeah.
Young Milchek, sure. Yeah.
The mustache.
The mustache. Oh, grow that mustache.
You shave a bit for it?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do whatever, bro.
You know they give people fake mustaches or beards in Severance. You know Adam Scott's beard in Severance.
It's fake. Rough.
In the latest episode.
Yeah.
No, it's makeup and all that shit. It's fake.
Yo, that is give them the awards. Yeah. That's crazy.
Had the ladies gang crazy.
I'm actually so disappointed. I'm sorry.
I think films wise, the type of films that I love doing the most. I won't say it's like the only thing I want to do, but the films I love the most. Past Lives, Sing Sing, I think is the best picture.
Yeah. What a film, man.
Yeah.
Young man.
I think that's the
Did
best
you watch
picture.
Nickel Boys?
Yeah. Let's talk about that off camera. but I think Sing Sing's best picture.
Sing Sing's incredible.
Of the year. Past Lives, your marriage stories, all that stuff. That kind
you want to do a romance?
Yeah, bro. My most yes. The roles I want to do most is there's two books about Ghanaian love stories called Open Water and Small World.
Caleb.
That
he's special.
Yeah.
Have you watched Prey?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet. You know, see,
and
he's bro, I had to get my book signed for him.
Very special. Oh. Very
like,
special.
I'm literally a fan.
Okay. And like, I've told him myself, I was like, hey, whoever else you got in the audition room, I will kill them myself. Like, I want to play this role.
Why do we also take things too far?
Sorry. Hey, it's ironic because we're the most peaceful ones in the continent.
What would you rather do? Open World or Small World?
Obviously, we don't know time frames and schedule classes, so I can't say, like, I want to do this one and then it's going to happen.
Oh, got you.
I prefer Small Worlds mainly because it's a better character study for the guy.
Yeah.
But Open Water is also a great romance story and I would love to do it. I'd love to do both, but Small Worlds.
Got you.
Yeah. But, and I'd also have to learn trumpet, which is crazy.
That'll be sick.
It would be my biggest challenge yet as an actor. So...
Yo, more rom-coms. That's the hill. That's
I want to do rom-coms. Good. As well. Like, that's the stuff I'm striving for. Like, I'm hungry for. So, yeah, man. Yeah.
Director and actor?
Director, Cord Jefferson, for sure.
Mm.
What have they done?
American Fiction.
Oh, American Fiction. That was his...
For sure.
It's a good film, that.
For sure.
It's a really
great film. And it criticized, you know, that ending is, I think, one of my favorite movie endings of all time. Yeah, just I preach on that subject a lot in it, and the fact that he did that and then he got on stage with the Oscar and said you all said no and I'm here still now. I just rate that so much. So yeah, I think he's got a level of integrity that I love to work with. And an actor, there's many.
Feel free to name them. You don't have to pick just one.
Sterling K. Brown, of course.
Wait, if you're doing a rom-com, who do you want to be with?
Ooh, that's a hard question, you know, and I'll tell you why it's a hard question. I'm so upset it's a hard question because we don't showcase our black women in the UK enough, and it pisses me off that I can't think of an answer. You know, obviously, there's
I love the passion that you're speaking.
Especially like, especially now, like Jodie's a sister of mine and all that, it hurts. And like, there's actresses, I mean, I think I look a little bit on the younger side, but like, of course, like Vivian O'Parra, I'd love to do something with. You know, Bookie Bookre, all these.
I went to see our Michelle Theatre show in Bush Theatre. She done Sleepover.
Yeah, I missed it. Unfortunately.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Like, there are people there. Lauren Adufo, great friend of mine. I love Lauren, and she's amazing. I would love to do something with her. But like, there's also many that aren't known or aren't given opportunities, and it just makes me sad. It makes me really sad. And I think we just need to do better. But yeah.
Cool. Josh, thank you for joining us today, man. Really, we were looking forward to this episode first for quite some time. And we've been trying to make it happen for a while as well.
I actually thought he was lying when he said he was going to come on the podcast.
Come
tonight.
On, man.
I know. Because remember, I said it to you. So we were at the hood screening for Borders, yeah?
to be fair, his brother said, he's definitely
it's
down.
True,
yeah.
Bro, it's
yeah.
True.
No, I loved it. It was amazing. That's how I want to watch Borders, with people screaming in the back. And after, I was like, oh, hi, I'm Basola. He was like, oh, you guys are from Outtake.
I said the wrong name.
I said, about to lie to us. Yeah. About to lie to us, yeah? He was like, no, I'll come on the podcast. I said, well, on the podcast. I said, yeah, come on. I was like, I doesn't know who we are. We said,
you should go on Outtake.
That's
well,
a liar.
You know, we talk about you at Yard before you even came. They were like, oh, yeah, post-credit. Like, yeah. I just got the name wrong because I'm very bad socially.
The fact that you said yes before you knew who we were, I said, this guy is lying to us.
Nah.
And then you're like, oh, no. And then, lo and behold.
Yeah.
So, apologies for assuming that you're a liar.
No worries. I'm just
that hurts to apologize. I'm not doing that again.
Wow.
I'm not doing that again.
Do you go to therapy?
No.
We really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us. We'll give a huge, huge round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We'll definitely have you back because you're a friend of the show now.
So, 100%.
Yeah, we'll definitely anytime. Have you back. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Guys, make sure to follow us or to subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on the TikTok as well. We're on YouTube every single week. Shout out to Kiz who puts in a lot of work to that. He does. He does have to give him his flowers. It's unfortunate. I hate doing it myself.
Same.
You have to give people their flowers, you know. Follow us on Instagram and on TikTok, Post Credit Scene Podcast. And make sure to give us a 5-star review on DSPs, especially Spotify.
Leave a comment on Spotify. We'll read it out next week.
If you want to throw any abuse to Basola, don't do so. because she's the best thing ever.
Bitch.
See, you thought I was going there, didn't you? and yeah, that's us over and out.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast.